Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. It is presented by Breaks Plus. Looking for a good, good question. What do you mean? All right, here it is. Question mark on the RamosLive.com text line 303-713-1043. Okay, Mark, you say you don't want the Broncos to take a receiver at number 15. When do you want them to take one?
Listen, I don't mind you taking one in the second round, the third round. You've got a bunch of picks, package a couple together. If you want to creep back into the first round, if there's somebody that you think is first round worthy, at the end of the first round, I don't want them to take a receiver at 15 because I think they have far more pressing needs. I would argue that, oh, you just said something there. Hold on a second.
Then I want you to finish.
All right. I would argue that from a pressing needs standpoint, I would argue that based upon how free agency goes, but I would tell you that I believe O-line is a more pressing issue. And not just this year, Mike. I'm talking about in years to come. Right now, Ronald Leary's not going to be here. I don't know that they're going to re-sign McGovern. Both tackles are question marks. Like, that to me is a more pressing issue, and that issue lasts. They've had O-line issues here for, what, last 6-7 years? If you don't address it at some point, guess what happens? Every year it's an issue. Every year this is an issue. Every single year. So that's a more pressing issue. I believe the cornerback position is going to be a more pressing issue because by all accounts, you've got Yotam, who's unproven. You've got what is it? The guy's name Busby, right? Or Bosby? Bosby.
Former AAF guy.
Right. Bosby, who played pretty well for a short period of time. Is Callahan going to be, is he going to be healthy? I don't know. Like, you've got question marks there. And by the way, Vic Fangio came out and said, hey man, we want to spend more time in like nickel and dime.
Mm-hmm.
We want to mitigate the lack of linebacker, you know, the side to side linebacker coverage guys that we have that has been an issue when it comes to tight ends. So we want to be in more dime and more nickel and more dime. So I think cornerbacks have more pressing issue. So both of those positions to me are more pressing. And then D line, if you don't re-sign Shelby Harris, if you don't re-sign Derek Wolfe, you're not going to re-sign Adam Gotsis, Mike. I think those three positions are more pressing right now than the receiver position.
Okay, but you've always been, like, when it comes to the draft, I am draft the best player available at a position of need.
Okay.
And I always chuckle at the whole idea of, well, just stay true to your board and draft the best player available. Nobody does that.
Right.
Nobody does that.
Everybody says it, but everybody does position of need.
What they do is they draft, hopefully, the best player available at a position of need. Are you a draft the best player available at a position of need guy, or are you just simply a draft the best player available? Because what happens if number 15 comes up
and
the grade they have on Henry Ruggs is better than the grades they have on other guys that are a more pressing need?
Right.
What do you do then?
If your grade, I've always said this, Mike, if your grade is, like, if your grade is identical, like, hey, Henry Ruggs grades out the same as whoever the best left tackle is at that position, or Henry Ruggs grades out as the best, at the same grade that we've given the best D lineman, or the best, then you take the position of need. If Henry Ruggs is grading out on your board, out of 10, he's a 9-8, and the next best, the best offensive lineman you have is a 9-2, you take Henry Ruggs. If he's that much, like, if he's that much better.
Absolutely. But shouldn't you look at it maybe a different way and say it's not so much the difference between Henry Ruggs and a player at another position. Shouldn't it be what's the difference between Henry Ruggs and the next two or three receivers that I have on my board?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have Henry Ruggs at a 9.8,
mm-hmm.
but then you have, you know, C.D. Lamb at a 9.7.
Right.
And you have Rager at a 9.6.
Right.
And you have Laviska Shenault at a 9.5.
Right.
At that point, isn't the difference between these guys so marginal that you then have to fall into the thinking of, well, wait a minute. There are plenty of really good options behind this guy that we have highly graded, but we still have that need at O-tackle.
Mm-hmm.
We still have that need at cornerback.
Right.
And we'd be smarter off to use our pick here on one of those guys.
Yeah, but what if you have three offensive tackles that are all at 9.2? And you've got one wide receiver that you think is a difference maker in a division where you've got Keenan Allen and you've got Tyreek Hill and you've got some players. Like, we want a like player there. I mean, I don't know.
You know what? My answer to that is if you are sitting on the 15th pick in the first round,
mm-hmm.
and after only 14 picks have been made, you have one guy at a 9.8 and all the other guys on the board at all these other positions, the best they can do is a 9.2, then I question your evaluation system.
Well, I mean, you can look at the Broncos' first, second, and third round draft choices over the last decade and you can question their evaluation system.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very fair.
Yeah.
I don't know, Mike. I always look at it like if there is a guy that you're convicted about because the film is so strong and you think he is generational type player, regardless of position, take him. If you feel as an organization that strongly about a guy, but if you are like, if you're split as an organization, you're like, I don't know, you know, and you got enough guys. Like, then I think that you just stay true to your draft board. But again, when you've got holes to fill, I mean, I don't know that there's any right answer here, Mike. Like, if you're a really strong, a really good organization, and you're winning in your playoff caliber organization every year, you can adhere to your draft board. You don't have to reach for a guy. But teams fall out of that. Why? Because they struggle, because they become mediocre, because they're chasing one player, because they're neglecting a position. Like, you look at the Broncos, I mean, when you miss on players, especially first round players, the fact that only one player in the last decade drafted in the first round has signed a second contract, that's Von Miller. That's a drastic indictment on the guys you have picking players. There's no other way. Listen, man, that is not personal. Okay? That's not personal. That's just factual.
Yeah.
There's nothing personal about that.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I think people think I'm totally anti-receiver. I'm not. But it's just like I'm also not, you know, anti-taking a quarterback in the first round. But I also want to look at this logically and the facts. Okay? You talk about the facts. I mean, the facts tell you crystal clear that in the last 10 years when it comes to drafting quarterbacks, there is no difference whatsoever between being able to find winning, just winning quarterbacks. Never mind Super Bowl winning quarterbacks or playoff winning quarterbacks. There is no difference whatsoever in the last 10 years when it comes to where you draft a quarterback, whether it's in the first. There's nothing. There's no evidence whatsoever that suggests that if you take that your odds are that much better of finding a winning quarterback if you take him in the first round. We went over the wide receiver numbers the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receivers since 2012 taken in the first round, just a few guys, right? But yet the wealth of talent that have come out of the second and third round when it comes to receivers, it's obvious. So I'm not anti-receiver. The Broncos need receivers. Mm-hmm. They need two receivers. And I will speak up for the need for receivers when it comes to the Broncos by saying those of you who think Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick are going to be the number two and number three receivers on a team that's going to the AFC Championship game, you're nuts.
Right, you're crazy.
You're crazy.
But,
okay?
But you know
so
what?
You need receivers.
Right.
But let's be smart where you take them. And it makes no sense to me that in a year where everybody agrees this is one of the deepest wide receiver classes of all time and that there are guys that are going to go in the second round that normally would go in the first round, and that is the year of all years you decide with all the needs you have to take a receiver in the first round?
Mm-hmm.
That just makes no sense.
Let me, you know, it's interesting. I bet you could go through every position. Like, you look at offensive linemen. This league is littered with Pro Bowl and All-Pro offensive linemen that were drafted in the third, fourth, fifth round, second round. I mean, we got Dalton Risner in the second round. He's turned out to be a pretty good player, right? And we can go back and look at a bunch of first-round guys that, you know, that haven't really developed or amounted to much. Again, because some of the things that happen is you get over-evaluated based on your athletic numbers, your combine numbers, your exercise numbers, right? I mean, I don't want to be the best at exercising. I want to be the best football player, right? I'll let the, what do they call that? The fat fit guys or the, CrossFit. I was doing fat fit. I was doing CrossFit is what I was doing.
Okay.
CrossFit. I gained a lot of weight. I was like, man, this CrossFit's not working. Then the CrossFit guys, you want to be the best at exercising. Good for you. That's awesome. That's cute. Oh, you can do a lot of pull-ups and then run, flip a tire around. That's awesome. Good for you. You're the best at exercising. I want to be the best football player, right? Not the best exerciser. So, you know, a lot of these guys get elevated because they're the best athletes. Where was Jason Peters drafted? He was drafted as a tight end by the Buffalo Bills. Maybe one of the greatest left tackles that's ever played in the game. Where is he drafted at?
He's with Philly now, right?
Yeah, he's with Philly. Like, I just, there's great value there. Why has New England been competitive all these years when they're drafting 31st or 32nd every year? Half the time they don't even take a first rounder. Why? They drop back, they accumulate picks, they get better value in the second, third, and fourth rounds. And they develop their players.
Go get me an offensive tackle, a defensive lineman, or a linebacker. At 15.
Mm-hmm.
Build the guts of your... This is a team that has ignored the guts of their football team for too long. They just have. And it's, I mean, you've said it every single year. Every single year you keep saying at the end of the year that they need to replace four-fifths of their offensive line. Has that changed?
No.
Where are they at right now? They got Dalton Risner.
Right.
And if it was up to you.
You have a new left tackle.
New left tackle.
I'd have changed a couple years ago with Whitworth when he was available.
Fine. Would you have a new center? Would you have a new right guard?
Yep.
Would you have a new right tackle?
Yes.
Okay, that's four-fifths.
Mm-hmm.
Yet again. So,
I don't know. Honestly, Juwan James was a first-rounder for Miami. As you always say, there's a reason they let him go, because he's inconsistent at best. And, you know, and then when you get the reports from the head coach that he's emotionally not ready to play. Hey, physically he's been cleared to play by the doctors, but he's not emotionally ready to play. That's a terrible sign. Now, again, like I said back in the season, you can't say that as the head coach. That's not something you can put out there. That's a mistake. Like that hurts your football team. But the bottom line is, you know, Vic is old school and Vic is going to do, and I like Vic. I think he did a fine job.
I get it. We live in a fantasy football world, but how can you take one look at the Broncos and not recognize how deficient they are when it comes to the guts of their football team? Okay, you just said that, once again, four-fifths of the offensive line you'd replace if you could. Meanwhile, look at the defensive line. These were the top six guys, top seven guys that they used on their defensive line last year. Derek Wolfe,
50-50 at best if he's back.
Right.
Shelby Harris probably won't be back.
Right.
Mike Purcell, nice player, but DeMarcus Walker, second round bust. Kyle Pecco, Adam Gotsis won't be here, and Draymond Jones. The only guy out of those guys that I just mentioned on the defensive line that I could point to and say, you know what, there's a lot of potential there, is Draymond Jones.
But
that's it.
Let me stop you there for a second. Let me stop you there. Potential for what? To be a starter?
To be a starter.
Because I don't know how that guy's going to transition from, hey, you get to play 20 plays a game in nickel situations where you don't have to defend the run, and then all of a sudden say, hey, come in here against the Niners and defend the run and let them smash mouth you for a while and hold up for 65 plays. Then let's see in those nickel situations where you were productive last year for 20 plays, let's see if you're worth.
Okay. So you already have, you're attaching a bunch of question marks to him.
Because there's no way not to.
Right.
I mean, he came in at the end of the year in a very limited role and had some production. I'm just telling you, man, I've seen a lot of players that have very limited roles. They come out and put out productive numbers and you're like, wow, that was really productive. And then they get fit into a starting position where they have to defend the entirety of the playbook and they got to hold up in first down and second down and all of a sudden and all of a sudden third down comes around as a third down and six and they're tripping over their tongues because they can't hold up in the other two downs, or they're good at that, but they're like, that's the target. Like when you game plan a guy, you go, ah, that's the guy we're going to go after in the run game, and we're going to make him defend this run, and we are going to bludgeon him.
So we are in agreement that as of right now, you got a below average offensive line.
Correct.
We are in agreement that as of right now, you got a below average defensive line.
Correct.
Are we in agreement that as of right now, when it comes to your inside linebackers, Alexander Johnson, Todd Davis and Josie Jewell, you are maybe average?
I think average might be a little strong.
Okay, so below average.
Yeah.
All right, so you know, for people who are like getting on me or getting on you about, you know, come on, we got to take Henry Ruggs at 15. We've just agreed that there's a below average offensive line, a below average defensive line, below average inside linebackers, and you're upset at me because I want to address the guts of this football team that I think has been ignored for far too long.
Let me ask those folks.
Really?
I want you to hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, okay? I want to ask you, you Ruggs guys, the guys who just are like, you got to go get Ruggs. 4-2-7. Got to go get Ruggs. We need speed. We need a weapon for Drew Lock, right? What do you agree that we're below average at the positions we just said? O-line, D-line, and linebacker. Do you agree? See, some people put us at, let's put a qualifier on that. Inside linebacker. Because technically.
Yeah, no, I know Chubb and Vaughn are outside linebackers, yeah. But no, I mean, and then, hey, I'm very happy with those two. I'm just talking about, you know, inside linebackers. Guys that you count on to find three down guys
and interior
that
D-line.
Can dominate in the run game and can also cover sideline to sideline and down the field.
I'll give you another one. With the exodus of Chris Harris Jr. too, are we below average at the cornerback position?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Once you take Chris Harris out of the mix, yes.
You know, it's easier to say the only places that were above average, safety. I think we're an above average group at the safety position.
Yep. And pass rushers. Edge rushers, yes.
Okay.
Outside linebacker / defensive ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
That's the only two places I think we're above average.
So, with all those holes, you want me to take the 15th overall pick and spend it on a wide receiver in a class that is supposed to be one of the deepest of all time
with guys who are going to go in the second round that normally would have first round grades. Oh, and oh, by the way, your number one receiver right now that everybody believes is on a fast track to stardom, Cortland Sutton, went in the second round. And oh, by the way, you got a quarterback that many people believe can be special, and a special quarterback does what? Make average players around him look better than they really are. And you want to turn your back on all of that. All of that. And take Henry Ruggs at 15. Huh. I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah, that's,
come on.
I mean, I think that's,
once you lay it out that way, isn't the prospect
strategy
ridiculous?
It really is.
It's ridiculous. And I'm going to give the Broncos the benefit of the doubt. Vic Fangio and John Elway, that they've graduated beyond ridiculous.
I would agree with that. I just don't think there is any way they can go down that road. I really don't. I think when you really look critically at this football team and what's coming up, not just this year, but the next couple of years, you've got to address some of these deficiencies. Like let's just go O-line. Like O-line to O-line in this division. I mean, come on, we don't match up to Kansas City. We don't match up to the Raiders. And frankly, we probably don't match up to the Chargers, except the Chargers had four guys hurt last year. And by the way, a lot of draft gurus and draft nicks, they're talking about, hey, quarterback situation being one of the things the Chargers need to address, right? I think they're at six. But a lot of draft nicks also have them dressing the offensive line and getting a legitimate left tackle. So I'm just telling you, we just don't match up there.
Yeah. We have an offense that has averaged between 17 and 21 points the last 4 years. Mm. The Husher by Mountain offense.
Mm-hmm. Lullaby.
Husher by.
They practice at Husher by Mountain.
Oh,
the lullaby
offense on Husher by Mountain.
Right.
Right. Sorry.
Husher by Mountain.
You play in a division with Patrick Mahomes,
mm-hmm,
and maybe Tom Brady.
Showtime!
And you better have answers for those guys. But yeah, let's go draft a receiver at 15. In a draft. I mean, it'd be one thing if everybody agreed, boy, this is a thin year for wide receivers. You want to get a difference-making wide receiver, you better take him in the first round.
Right.
Okay. I could listen to that argument.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got people constantly saying, this is deep. This is deep. You know? I mean, you got guys that are going to go second round. There are three or four guys that are going to go in the second round who most years would be a first round. Then why? Why?
And here's,
why?
Here's the other benefit that you have. And I believe this, Mike. One of the benefits that you have in this particular draft is that a lot of these receivers didn't run well. Which means what? They're going to wait for their pro days, but it's going to push some receivers down, right? It'll probably elevate Ruggs because he did run well. But a lot of these receivers that ran 4.6s and 4.58s and all that, it's going to push them down. Meaning that you're going to have a much better pick of the litter when it comes to receivers. And you've got enough capital that if you want to take a difference maker on your offensive line at 15 overall and then move back up into the late first round because one of those guys gets pushed down, you've got that capital to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You come away with a haul. And good. I'm glad they didn't run well, because that helps the Broncos.
The other question we're getting a lot of was, what if all the best tackles are gone? You know what you do? You got 12 picks this year. You have 12 picks. There's no way you can draft 12 people. You're not going to have 12 people make your football team. If the Broncos go into this draft with 12 picks and they draft 12 people, shame on them. Really. Shame on them, because you just wasted some of these draft picks. You just wasted them. So if the idea is that all the best tackles are going to be gone by like number seven, you got a few teams who have already put the shingle out in front saying we're open for business because we know that there is some, we've got our quarterback. Mm-hmm. We believe we have our quarterback, or we've convinced ourselves into believing we have our quarterback, or we have no choice but to go with this quarterback, right, however you want to describe it. And they're going to be looking to deal. So move up.
Right.
All right? If you think all the best tackles are going to be gone by 10.
Or if there's a guy. Or if there's a guy that you just think is dominant. The guy you want. Lockdown.
Yeah. Go get him. Move up. Jeez. I mean, you got 12 picks. You got ammo. Use it. This isn't that hard. My God. It's not that hard. Shouldn't be that hard, but man, these teams make it harder than it should be. All right. Much more as we roll on with it. Is It Just Me Friday? Hot takes coming in. We'll get to all of them coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.
I like this one. This is good. So is it just me or are you Jeff Breidich's?
Whoa, that's harsh.
Man, you can throw a lot of insults our way, but to call us Jeff Breidich's,
right,
that's just mean.
Yeah, that is mean.
That was very nice.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. Well, go ahead, finish it.
Texter. 2853. I think you need to take that back.
Well, that's an 8 a.m. texter. So, I mean, you know,
bad. All right. So is it just me? You, Jeff Breidich, is using D-Max QB theory, but for O-line. We don't know who, but let's trade up and draft one. Not a great strategy.
No.
Because I want to give you a little bit of credit here, first of all.
Right.
Because I want to. So unlike D-Max quarterback strategy, where it's draft one of these five. Well, which one? I don't know. Just draft one of them. Well, what if this guy's gone? We'll draft that guy. Yeah, but what if those two guys? We'll draft that guy. Why? I don't know. Just draft one of the five. That was his strategy. At least with you, I feel confident that I can say, okay, Mark, I want you to do a deep dive into Andrew Thomas, Josh Jones, Tristan Wirfs, you know, all these linemen that are right, projected to go in the first round. I want you to hunker down, get in the room, close the blinds,
mm-hmm,
have the tie ready to put on the door knob just in case,
mm-hmm,
and break these guys down. And I am quite confident that after you do that, you will arrive at one or two guys that you say, yeah, that's the guy I'd like to really have anchoring the left side of my offensive line.
What?
Because you know what? I trust your...
Right.
Ability to actually evaluate these guys rather than just throw darts.
Here's the deal. What I have said is if they have a guy that they have picked out,
mm-hmm,
a guy,
not one of
they,
five.
No. And they think that guy is significantly better than the others, then move up and draft that guy. Now, you know, there will be people that say, well, you liked Garrett Bowles. Yeah, I did. I loved his athleticism. I did. And when I looked at Garrett Bowles' film and that athleticism, I loved it. And you can't argue anywhere in the league. You can't argue that he's an exceptional athlete. Okay. I thought that Ramczyk was a better player, but he wasn't near the athlete. That's why the Saints moved him to the right side, Mike. That's why he's not playing left tackle. He's playing right tackle. And we were looking for a left tackle. So athleticism-wise, no question. Now, I have to admit, when I look at the college tape, I get cut-ups from the organizations that I worked for ESPN back in the day. I used to get the cut-ups. So there's no context. It's one play after the next play after the next play. I don't know if it's first down, second down, third down, whatever. I'm just looking at the way a guy moves, right? Way he sets, the way his body language, all that kind of stuff, right? So It's limited. I'm not working over at the Broncos, and I offered to come over. I've offered to go over there and just look at that stuff and give my 2 cents. Crickets. Send out all, hey man, I'll do this for you guys because it'll help me overall
do my job, right? Instead of looking at cut-ups, let me hunker down. Let me do hours of film study and evaluation. I'll tell you what I think of the potential left tackles or the potential guards. Give me the top 10 guards. Give me the top 10 tackles. Give me the, and I'll spend 8 hours a day for 2 weeks just looking at tape. No offer. Didn't even get not even a return.
And you wonder why. 4 straight years without making the playoffs. You wonder why.
So,
way to turn over every rock there, guys.
So anyhow, I mean, but again, like, I didn't get an interview, Ramczyk or Bowles, or I don't go talk to the guys. I don't go ask them about football, you know, their football acumen. But I'm pretty sure that if I had their college tape and I had some context and I got to watch, let's say, 5 games each or 4 games each of their best opponents, I could pretty much tell you which guy I think has the best opportunity to be really good. And I'm not talking about some dude that plays the blind sisters of the poor 3 times. You know, the kid from Louisville, I want to see him play against the best competition. I want to see him line up against a really good player, somebody that I know is going to move on. You know, somebody from 2 years ago that's already in the league making plays. I want to see that. Now, I'm not going to get anything of watching some dude play some, you know, some Eastern European defensive end that's stiffer than a board and couldn't rush the passer to save his life. That does me no good. Well, look, he dominated this guy. So what? Right? You're going to see 2 or 3 films. And so those are the things that I think have to be done. And if the Broncos find a dude that they think is a dude, like he is a dude, we got to have this guy. Then if it means going up to number 9 to get him, hey, I will applaud that move.
Yeah. If they have somebody that gives them the Quentin Nelson response, then yeah, move up and get him. But I'm quite content to let the draft come to them, stay at 15, and use the philosophy of draft the best player available at a position of need, knowing that there's no shortage of needs at this team. They have needs at offensive line, tackle, guard, defensive line,
mm-hmm.
linebacker, inside, cornerback.
Right.
And honestly, I mean, if there is a stud safety out there that you want to partner up with Justin Simmons, I'm okay with that too.
Sure.
That'd probably be less on my, but,
right. but
there's no, what I'm saying is there's no shortage of needs.
Right.
And you can stay put at 15, take the best player at a position of need that does not include a wide receiver.
By the way, you know, we've talked a lot about the speed of Ruggs and how people are all excited about the 4.27. You know who's got the longest TD in NFL playoff history?
As a receiver?
Yeah. Yeah.
It had to be 99 and a half yards. Who was it?
No. Wasn't 99 and a half.
Oh.
Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp, really?
Yeah. You know what he ran coming out of the combine? 4.67. Remember when he was with Baltimore against the Raiders?
That's right.
It was like a 96 yarder or 97 yard TD. I can't remember exactly what it was. 98 yard TD. It's the longest. I think that's the longest.
Well, 4.67 is blazing. That's what Justin Herbert ran yesterday.
Yeah. 4.67. That's the longest TD in history.
So you're telling me Shannon Sharp couldn't outrun Justin Herbert?
Wow. It just goes to show you guys. I mean, it just goes field speed, underpants speed. Like, now I'm not saying Ruggs' tape doesn't match up because it does, but the bottom line is the speed thing is so overrated. The vertical jump thing is so overrated. The bench press test, so overrated.
But they do it.
Oh, yeah.
They do it. Every single year, they do it. They do it. Thank God the Broncos did not send their coaches. Boy, I'm feeling more and more hopeful about this offseason, just the fact with them doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Just kind of calling out the combine for what it is. Gives me hope, actually. It really does. Makes me feel pretty optimistic. All right, some more Is It Just Me's coming up next. So, in case you have been living under a rock on Twitter the last week, you missed out on
Twitter.
The video of all videos.
Well,
No. It's epic. It's 1 week old.
I know.
Right now. It's only a week old, and yet it'll live in infamy.
Yeah.
Body slamming to Huff.
Didn't really go as planned.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
I have been. There comes a time when you think that, hey, as you choreograph something, this is going to work out. And the next thing you know, you execute it. And, people get hurt.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people have been curious, since it is a week old.
Right.
How is our boy DeHuff doing?
Oh, he's doing fine.
Well, let's ask him. Because what your definition of fine might be different than his. How are you feeling, Scotty?
Scotty. Guys, it hurts to talk.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
No, I'm fine. It's fine. I've been doing videos all week. I'm good.
You are good. You were running the steps at Red Rocks the other day.
Like an hour after Mark viciously attacked me and broke my ribs, I was doing push-ups at Casa Bonita with Kendall on my back.
Right. I think that's probably what hurt his rib.
No. Listen, I fought through the pain. It's fine. People, like... I have a cracked rib.
Right, one thing you have to understand.
Hold on. Before we go any further...
Right. You guys are jerks.
You have got to share what your wife predicted.
So my wife saw the video...
Early. On Friday.
Friday.
Early Friday afternoon.
And she said, because, we tend to poke fun at Scott a lot, like Scott will head to the emergency room with a hangnail.
You're such a jerk.
And so my wife, literally now, this is without any prompting, I promise. I showed her the video and she goes, you guys are idiots. She goes, Scott will be checking himself into the emergency room any minute. And so I started laughing.
She said specifically a time.
Well, I put the time on it. I said, what do you think? She goes, any minute. And I go, all right. I don't think he's going to go. I don't think he's going to go. She goes, I guarantee you he's going to go. And I go, okay, I'm going to put 7 p.m. And she goes, okay, whatever, but he'll be in before that. And I go, okay, done, 7 p.m. So then I called Scott. I said, hey, dude, I tried to guilt him into not going, right? And my wife just called you soft. She said you're going to be in the emergency room before 7 p.m. He goes, does urgent care count if I go at 7:01? I go, if you can make it 7:01, you're good. And sure enough, about 5 o'clock, I see the bleeding heart video. It really hurts.
Here's what's funny. So I go in and I have to explain to the doctors what happened to me. They're like, okay, go over. How did you, was it a fall or did you get, somebody hit you? I was like, well, it's kind of both. And well, where'd you fall? Where was the impact? I was like, I was out of it because it happened at 9 o'clock. By the time I went in there, it was 5. And dealing with the crap all day, I was like, just watch the video. And I kid you not, each doctor that I showed the video to, they all were cracking up. They're like, I know you're in pain, but that's pretty funny.
Right.
And then the last doctor I showed it to, he's like, okay, go through the story again, just so I can hear it from you. By the way, I'm a big time listener. I'm like, oh crap. So I tell him the story. I was like, it's just it was bad hand placement. Like we practiced it. Just Mark's hand was just in the wrong place. Wait. Which guy was it? I said, it was Schlereth. Oh, classic Steve. And I'm like, oh geez. But it's
the truth of the matter is, like, I've been limping around. I was limping around for 3 or 4 days because I hurt my hip and my wrist because Scott fell on my... Scott, I mean, I should file a claim because Scott...
Shut up.
Scott, I mean, is awkward and unathletic, falls on my wrist, almost broke my wrist. That it just...
That's my fault.
Yeah, that's your fault.
You're well, so I just want to know.
Now, one thing
that I did agree wholeheartedly with... with DeHuff was he at least deserved to get a steak dinner out of all this.
Yeah, how's that going, Mark?
Yeah, I'll give him a steak dinner. I don't have any problem with that.
Since I was there and I witnessed the whole thing,
right.
I had a little bit of emotional trauma, so
right.
I probably deserve a steak, too.
Do you?
Yes.
Or should you just eat a salad, Mike? Let's be honest.
with no dressing.
We got this from
Face. I like working the bone.
We got this from Face Tattoo Guy.
Oh man, so funny to hear Evans act like he's so tough.
What?
Evans had a crack, broken rib.
We never
either shut up about it. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, your sternum cracked.
All
open.
I've done recently is have my chest cracked, split, heart taken out, valve replaced, sewn back up. And 2 days later, I was walking out of the hospital.
But that's your own fault. You had a faulty heart valve.
I did have a faulty heart valve.
That's on you.
Right.
Yeah. Mine was mine.
I didn't hold a meatball.
There's nothing to separate your heart
valve. You saw me two days after I had it done. Was I sitting there going, oh.
No, you look good. Am I doing that, Mike? No. I'm doing push-ups with a woman on my back. I'm running Red Rocks like a man.
I was eating your wife's chocolate chip cookies.
I know.
They were delicious.
Actually, you did a pretty good job, Scott.
That's just a typical Tuesday for you.
Sorry.
Sorry, guys.
But I have gone 5 days without bringing any ribs at work, so that's good.
Yeah. I did get a lecture from my brother this morning from Australia.
I know.
He's like, hey, John, I'm doing a show right here.
Hey.
Sorry. Wow. I just had to yell at somebody.
Wow.
I almost channeled my 10 years ago where I used to yell at interns. I don't want to do that to you, John.
By the way, hindsight being 2020, probably a pretty stupid move on our end.
Oh, I thought it was tremendous.
But we planned it out. That's the thing. It's like we planned it out. Sometimes
the best laid plans, they go awry.
Well, look, it was very timely. It was the Colorado High School Wrestling Championship. We talked about how you had been a state champion in Alaska.
And I had a heavyweight division
and one signature move. And I naturally was curious. Well, I want to know about the Saturday night ride.
Mm-hmm.
And the over-under lateral drop into the Saturday night ride. So I just wanted to see what that was.
And Scott volunteered.
He volunteered.
What was weird, though, is just like Mike said, start filming, and then he sat down and smoked a cigarette and watched the whole thing. It was really weird.
Can you imagine if I'd have done that to Ben, he'd still be part of the carpet.
Oh, God.
Ben would look like a mat that you put in front of your front door. Just wipe our shoes on Ben. Stanley.
This is what it would be. This is what the email would read from our company. So Ben died today. He got snapped in half. Who knew?
I mean, literally, that move that you did on Duff, if you had done on Millennial Ben, you literally would have snapped him in half.
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
Poor little fella.
All
right.
His head would have popped off.
We'd be doing the walking away music with Millennial Ben. Remember Millennial Ben?
Everybody lived...
Millennial Ben, a lot tougher than I thought.
But, everybody lived to tell about it.
But let me say this real
quick.
I don't hate Mark. There's a lot of people out there that want me to, you know, they're like, Mark is, you know, a vicious animal. He should know better.
Well, he clearly doesn't know his own strength.
Well, I got to tell you.
He's like Lenny.
I got to tell you. Like, tell me again how I get to feed the rabbits.
It still hurts the laugh.
I got to tell you, there was part of me at first, I felt really bad. But then I had this overwhelming sense of pride that I can still break somebody's ribs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The unmitigated power.
Let's be honest. You didn't break a rib. Okay? There's like a little.
It's fractured, no. Mike.
Little tiny.
I don't know that I agree that it's really fractured. I mean,
people who sprain their ankle do more damage than
I think
was done to the huff.
I think it's bruised. And it didn't even get to the surface. The bruise is deep. It didn't even come to the surface. There's no purple.
No.
A little purple on my hip.
How do you know? Have you been checking out my when I change in the bathroom? Because I do that frequently here.
Do you?
Yes.
I've been spying on you. Wait, where's Mike's drop? Where's the mic drop? Hey, is that your daughter?
Hi, is that your daughter?
Hi, is that the Huff?
Hi, the Huff.
Hey,
just freaking did that.
Can I see your ribs?
Can I see your ribs?
Hey, is that Duff? Can I see your ribs?
So stupid.
All right.
Hi, Sandy.
Have a nice weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody. We turn things over to Sandy. They're like, how do we have to follow these clowns? Sandy and the Big O coming up next.
I tell you what, one of the best shows in Denver, Colorado, coming up right now. Next, it's Sandy and the Big O. Diggity's on that cigar, Big O.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.